I'm reading from the Prayer of Mahamudra by Rangjung Dorje, the third Karmapa. Namo Guru. Gurus and Yidams, deities of the mandala, Buddhas of the three times and the ten directions, with kindness and understanding for me, grant your blessings so that my prayers may be accomplished exactly as I ask. Sprung from the snow mountain of pure actions of myself and all sentient beings without limit, may the river of virtue of the threefold purity be united with the ocean of the four bodies of Buddha. So long as this is not accomplished, through all my lifetimes, birth upon birth, may the din of neurosis and suffering not be heard, and may I enjoy the goodness of oceans of happiness and virtue. Having obtained the precious human body, endowed with energy and intelligence, having attended on a worthy master and received the pith of the holy instructions, may I practice the holy Dharma properly as I have received it, all my lives, without interruption. Studying the scriptures, developing intellect, may I be freed from the obscuration of ignorance. Contemplating the oral instructions, may the darkness of doubt be subdued. In the light born of meditation, may what is shine forth just as it is, and the brightness of the three prajnas grow in power. Through the meaning of the ground, which is the two truths, free from limits of extreme views, and the supreme path of knowledge and merit, free from the limits of praise and blame, attaining the fruit of well-being for myself and others, free from the limits of samsara and nirvana, may I meet the Dharma which cannot err. The ground of purification is the mind itself, indivisible luminosity and emptiness. The means of purification is the great Vajra Yoga of Mahamudra. What is to be purified are the transitory contaminations of confusion. The untainted pure fruit is the Dharmakaya. May I realize all this. Resolving doubts brings conviction in the view. Then keeping one's awareness unwavering is the subtle pith of meditation. Putting all aspects of meditation into practice is the supreme action. The view, the meditation, the action. May I be confident in these. All dharmas are phantoms of the mind, and mind is no mind. The mind's nature is empty. Though empty, everything unceasingly arises from it. Investigating well, may I discern the root. Self-appearance, which never existed, has confused itself into projections. Spontaneous intelligence, because of ignorance, has confused itself into a self. By the power of dualistic fixation, one wanders in the realm of existence. May ignorance and confusion be resolved. Since it does not exist, even Buddhas do not see it. Since it is not non-existence, it is the origin of samsara and nirvana. There being no contradiction between these two is the unity of the middle way. May I realize the dharmata of boundless mind. If one says, it is this, nothing represents it. If one says, it is not this, there is no ground for denial. May I gain conviction in the ultimate perfect truth, the unconditioned dharmata, transcending intellect. When it is not realized, one circles in the ocean of samsara. Realizing it, Buddha is not other. Since there is no support for affirming and denying, may I understand the fallacy of the alaya. Since appearance is mind and emptiness is also mind, since realization is mind and delusion is mind, since arising is mind and cessation also mind, let me see through all mind's doubts. Not adulterating meditation with conceptual striving, unmoved by the wind of worldly bustle, knowing how to rest in the spontaneous, uncontrived flow, Being skilled in the practice, may I continue it. Let the waves of subtle and coarse thoughts calm down in their own place, and the waters of mind, without movement, come spontaneously to rest, free from the contaminations of discursiveness and sloth. May I establish a still ocean of samatha. Looking again and again at the mind, which cannot be looked at, seeing vividly, just as it is, the meaning which cannot be seen, may the yes and no of doubt be cut, and the genuine self-nature understood. Looking at objects, the mind, devoid of objects, is seen. Looking at the mind, I see its empty nature, devoid of mind. By looking at both of these, dualistic clinging is self-liberated. May I realize the luminous mind of what is. Being free from mind productions, it is the Mahamudra. Free from extremes, it is the great Madhyamika. Since it is the consummation of everything, it is called the great Ati. May I have confidence that by understanding one, all are realized. The great bliss, unceasing and without desire, unfixated luminosity, free from the veil of obscurations, the naturally fulfilled state of non-thought which transcends intellect, may I continually enjoy these states without effort. May clinging to the desire for good be self-liberated, and the nature of evil thoughts and confusion seen to be pure like space. With the ordinary mind, free from rejecting and accepting, loss and gain, may I attain the simplicity of the Dharmata. The nature of beings is permanently awakened. Not realizing that, we wander in endless samsara. For the boundless suffering of sentient beings, may overwhelming compassion be conceived in my being. Although such compassion be skillful and unceasing, in the moment of compassion, may the truth of its essential emptiness be nakedly clear. This unity is the supreme, unerring path. Inseparable from it may I meditate day and night. By the power of meditation, may I acquire the eyes and supernormal perception. May I ripen sentient beings and purify Buddha fields. May I perfect the aspiration which fulfills all the Buddha dharmas. Exercising these three, perfecting, ripening and purifying, may I manifest utmost Buddhahood. O Buddhas of the three times in the ten directions, by your kindness and through the prayer and power of whatever pure virtue may exist, fulfill, as I ask, the pure wishes of myself and all sentient beings. We've asked Jamgon Khantra Rinpoche to chant the original text of this song, and he would do so now. He's been kind enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, proceeding in a kind of traditional manner, the whole text has been chanted, and the power of the text itself, whether you understand Tibetan or not, has been transmitted. And now we want to have a little conversation about just to touch the surface of this text, which is really so vast that, our translator here told me, sometimes it takes a month or something like that to give all the commentarial.
It can
take that as long to give all the commentarial tradition on this text. Before we begin, I want to give you some information about things that are happening, that Jamgon Kongdrul Rinpoche is going to be giving a seminar, and this is one reason why he's coming on the program today. So those of you who can hear him and feel respect for his teaching would like to come closer and receive some closer teachings. The name of the seminar is going to be called The Supreme View of the Enlightened Mind, Reality, Path, and Goal. And it's occurring on, I'm trying to read this now, June 3rd through 5th in New York City, right in the city. So the space is limited, and I'd like to give you the number for reservation now. It's a Friday evening and all-day Saturday and Sunday seminar. For reservations, you can call 580-9282 or 925-4400. Please take this number down now, and then you'll have it for future reference after you hear the program. 580-9282 or 925-4400. Another important thing to announce for today, those of you who may be moved to enter the stream of Buddha Dharma today has a really very unique chance, because Kala Rinpoche is here, a very great Lama who's close to His Holiness, the Karmapa, and will be giving refuge and the Chenrezig Z initiation this afternoon at 1:30. So if you're in New Jersey now, I suggest you immediately get in your car and start driving. And you can listen on the car radio to the program. The at 7:30 this evening, there will be Bodhisattva vow. He'll be giving a Bodhisattva vow. And so, in one day, you can do the whole thing, at least as far as in the seed form, and then you can spend the rest of your lifetimes working it out. But this is really, I hope Rinpoche is understanding some of this. He's speaks pretty good English, but we have Matthew here to translate for Dharma purposes. Kala Rinpoche has a very powerful vow and commitment, and that comes through when he gives these. And Kala Rinpoche was the first person that I took refuge from. And strangely enough, just the day before His Holiness Karmapa arrived, last trip, 2 years ago, I took refuge from Kala Rinpoche in the Chenrezig initiation, and the very next day I went to the airport and met His Holiness coming. So I would say, you know, that if we're already brothers and sisters in some sense, we could intensify that if you'd like to go to Kala Rinpoche's refuge ceremony this afternoon, or the Bodhisattva this evening. That's at 35 West 19th Street on the fifth floor. And he's going to be teaching every evening this week. He's going to be giving initiations. Monday evening will be the Green Torah. Those of you who are drawn to the Divine Mother might find this a great expression of that. So the telephone number for the Kalu Rinpoche Center is 989-5989. 989-5989. Rinpoche, I want to ask you... first of all, let me just say, when I first saw Jamgon Kongdrul Rinpoche giving teachings, it was on Maui, up in the mountains. You don't have to translate this part. And he was sitting, it was a very, very windy day, and the sky was just, all the clouds were just torn out of the sky by the wind. It was just kind of blue, very blue sky. And he gave teaching, and gave a little explanation, and someone asked him a question, well, what if my guru... is not the Karmapa? Should I visualize the Karmapa when he's giving initiation, or should I visualize my guru? And Jamgon Kongdrul Rinpoche replied. He said, "Look at the blue sky. It doesn't belong to any of the countries underneath it. And so, therefore, the Buddha nature, the Buddha's blessing, doesn't belong to any guru." Could you just translate the last part of that and ask him to comment on it?
Rinpoche Hawaii La Pelegana Di Michiki Rangi Tawai Lama Gyalo Yishinobu Medan Gyalo Yishinobu 수원답 거기 르베 야나니 자베라마라 수원답 거기 르베 아니 림포체기 선서 디 페나남 강롬보디 아 룸바 치 갸갸기 남카 메바타부 아 디 데신 쉐페 님보 세겐 디 라마 치 갸갸 아 라 예바 시니 시니니 마레소 아 아니 대기 또 한테지 개바 치 순나나나
디콜라 딱 그런 게가 베나 디카솔라 이시노 감베 강원 신는 게어레 되는 코란티 슝엘 레브르와 레니 코랑가 티기어레 베나 강원 슈베 카솔라 라메게 고손토 다랑글로가 예숨 라메 고손토 그친나든 죽수삼베게 매버시고 요래 티사당 되네 코랑게 나티기도 코랑게 따열라마니 이시노범메 까마범메 되네 샌다 코랑게 따열라마 요래 되네 까완 트린나 까플라 이시 깜뱅는 게 요래 티삼 칸데 땅고레 세두 게 딜렌 딜라 빼는 남가 빼샤고야디 남가티 빼나 롱반 뉴욕 다부지네 대변 남간디 야간에 되나야 남고 다가라래 남고 예와요 말해 듣는 신기 랑기 되는데 하거나 배나 그런 게 따윌라마당 이신오비기 투 배나 가면 빼게 투중 오디니 니스메버지 배나 대신식 발라 대신 대월식 배닝 오텔라 듣는 디익들에다 들에서 가가 예와요 말해
그래서
When Rinpoche was asked that, it was just preceding an initiation that His Holiness the Karmapa was about to give, and someone who had arrived a little bit late, but still before the initiation, asked Rinpoche that because they had just been discussing the fact that in the process of initiation in Buddhism, the spiritual energy of the body, speech, and mind of the teacher is transmitted to the body, speech, and mind of the disciple. And this person was a bit disturbed about taking an initiation with one who he didn't regard as his own teacher, and whether that would interfere with that process of the transmission of spiritual energy. And Rinpoche's response was to point out that just as when we're dealing with space or the sky, we regard it as transcending specific geographical distinctions. And the sky in New York is not different than the sky anywhere else in the world, if you accept the pollution in this city. But there's a continuum in space that transcends the discontinuity of geography. And in the same way, the mind and consciousness, and particularly the enlightened mind, has a continuum above and beyond specific individuals who embody that enlightened mind. And this is what Rinpoche was seeking to point to.
Lama sosu tawe lama yue berare. Ina ya pena kama bata bici ina. Roa sunjen tamje ke lama re mado pena kaga kaga yo marwa.
Maso.
Tito nenge shabi.
Maso. And beside that,
take up the Quran ka one shu yore. Lama komdro.
Maso. And beside that, we should recognize that one who is enlightened, in the sense His Holiness the Karmapa is endowed with compassion that expresses that enlightenment that transcends the distinctions between various people and expresses a complete unity. And through that, in a sense, His Holiness can be on some level seen as the teacher of all living things. And so from that point of view as well, there's no need to draw these distinctions.
In the song that the Karmapa wrote in his third manifestation as Rangjung Dorje, he writes about this blue sky or mind. All dharmas are phantoms of the mind, and by dharmas, Matthew, I suppose it means all phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
So all phenomena are phantoms of the mind, and mind is no mind. The mind's nature is empty. Though empty, everything unceasingly arises from it. Could Rinpoche comment on that particular verse? It's very strange because it seems that the analogy with the sky and the earth breaks down here, because everything appears to be the sky. From this point of view, and Rinpoche is looking at the Tibetan text now. All dharmas are phantoms of the mind, and mind is no mind. The mind's nature is empty. But then, though empty, everything unceasingly arises from it.
In the first line, where it said that all phenomena or all things that can arise in existence or be determined as being referred to as being non-existent are mind, it means that because all that we know in mind, we can't separate, in particular or in general, any aspect of reality from the fact of mind, so that if we say something is good or something is bad, or if we judge something to be, or if we determine that something doesn't exist, all of this judgment, all of this whole process of determining whether things are or aren't, or how they are or might be, is a process that occurs in mind and in perception, and thus all that arises cannot be regarded separately from mind.
Yes.
And then, where it says, but mind is no mind, mind is emptiness, it means that although, in terms of dealing with all the phenomena of existence, it seems that mind is something real. We go through this process of determining that, yes, everything that occurs, occurs in mind and is experienced in mind. And so that seems to point to the fact of mind as something real. But when we try to sit down and say, what is mind, and work that out, apart from all of the events and perceptions that occur in mind, we're left with nothing. And we find that there's nothing that we can seize, no solid substance, no concrete thing that we can say, this is mind. So we come to the conclusion then that there is no mind, mind is empty. But it's important here to remember that Buddhism at this point doesn't step into a merely nihilistic position and then say, well, this statement that there is no mind, mind is empty, means that the real nature of reality is just a void, a blank. It's not that at all, because in spite of that, in spite of the fact that there's no substantial thing that can be determined to be mind, we still face this continuing flow, this unceasing flow of events, thoughts, perceptions, feelings, ideas, conceptions, that all are occurring in mind, that all are occurring in consciousness. And so we're faced with a paradox of sorts in which there's this unceasing play of mental events, but at the same time, there's nothing that can be determined to be, in a true sense, mind. And so then the direction that this points us to in this teaching is that we can only discover the real nature of mind as the ground or foundation for all experience and all existence when we've left behind all of these simplistic judgments about existence and non-existence and reality and non-reality. And so pointing toward the goal of this study of the nature of mind in Buddhism, one then aspires to cut off all of these misguided judgments about reality, fixed ideas about being and non-being, and to really see the nature of mind and of reality. And we should remember here that although these things are very easy to say and very easy to speak of, that they're very difficult to realize and really fully realize the implications of this sort of thing. It's rather like watching a high diver going over a cliff into the water, and As he jumps from the cliff, it looks like the easiest thing in the world. But when we get up to the cliff ourselves, we find our knees shaking a little bit. And we're all of a sudden extremely reticent to make the leap.
I refuse to make the leap.
It's the same sort of thing here.
Yeah, it is a good reminder. I want to ask Rinpoche, still speaking, first ask him, is it all right to discuss these matters even though we were unable to make the dive?
Korang rāla sāna trāktile trōng matūbe mi tabu chi iān sīgitu. Ani dē tabu ki nē kapla dī tabu ki korla drōleng che chōgirabē.
Tati dī tabu la drōleng che macho mēs chedāng ki hakoso tī la dētza sōsio ke pēna tāmbu ñam ñondo maso na dētza kōgu yō rēs. Tā tī tōp jū gī jū tī xie mā rōng yō mā rēs. Tōp yā gī jū sōndā. Tī sōndā kia rāng lī xie nā anī tāndō sēm shūk jē yā tāng jī lāb kī jū yā yā gā mā dō yō mā rēs. Anī tī jī tāng gī dū dū jē tā tōp yā gī jū tōp jū kōrāng xī ngō xie gī yō rā bā. Tā tōp jū tōp jē lā tē lā mē ngā kia bā tē mā ngū yō rā tē dō xie yā tē tā kā gu rā.
Here we're mostly talking about the goal, the thing that's to be attained through this path and this practice. And to know a bit about that may be helpful for us, particularly if we have any aspiration to either now or in the future set out to achieve the vision which is pointed to in a work such as this. It can give us a little bit of fortitude and a bit of encouragement in setting out. As far as the actual means through which this is realized, there are special sets of precepts which are to be worked out in experience, in work with a teacher, and that material would not be appropriate for discussion of this sort.
Well, One of the ways to begin, of course, is taking refuge, and we mentioned earlier that Lama Kalu Rinpoche is giving refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha this afternoon at 1:30. So if any of you are drawn by what's being said here, you should begin at the beginning and just allow yourselves to be drawn spontaneously forward. Let me ask Rinpoche if I... Just my rough understanding of what he said is that everything is the sky. It's as if the sky goes on forever, and the earth and objects and people are like clouds in the sky that somehow are born right out of the sky itself, sort of vaporized right out of the sky itself. Could you ask him if that's correct?
Ti ngā Rinpoche ki namkala peishane korangi pena namka dila Sem chanda pemche dube chu tamche dinzo pena jin tabu namkale yongires di tatarebe
kandes
pena ji seken di namka tabu chi yena dene pena ji dila tene sem chanda chirobe ngobo la sopa dinzo chi nangi chu tamche dinzo pena namkale trin butabu chi yongiru bes.
Ti kurangi shis edu samsigirube. Shis kagil tagiyor. Namkale besha yak shis yor, shis kagir.
What is the... In your analogy, if the clouds are like all the things that we deal with in the world, then what space in the analogy?
Well, the blue sky would be the mind, but there's nothing I want to ask him, because it says in the text here, since there is no support for affirming and denying, may I understand the fallacy of alaya, In other words, the fallacy that there is an underlying mind, even. So in my analogy, the blue sky would be the mind, and space, which is colorless, would be the truth.
Can I just point out here that that verse is somewhat mistranslated?
Okay, well, I have to say, this is WBAI in New York speaking of mistranslation. Basically, let me then, leaving this verse out of question, can you convey to Rinpoche my question,
right.
which is the blue sky is the mind, but is there something beyond the mind? Because after all, when the sun sets, the sky isn't blue anymore.
Kona rangi shidi semyores sigidu sem di pena sem da chinangi che tamche gi drelba pena namka da dreambu gi drelba tapchi yorbes.
Tende randa maris. Pena sem gi ngodi namka da wujil pe shagi yores, shani rungas res. Pechashana namgyo ngodi tat pena ngaranzo tongba jil shagi yorba. Ina yang tab ngwe me tabu shiyagi yore, ina yang kura ngombu ngoji, ta yorba, namkaas taasa yulchi. Taga nashisam ngoo shiyana rete, pena chinangi dhubi chudi samla tena yungu yosigi yorba. Te trimba tisa namkaal tena yoma rwa. Trimba yoma yundi pena lungi kima gil tena la soba tenjal tena yungu yorba. Tita tez peta pezin sungwe mindu sungwe dos.
We're getting into the problem of carrying analogies too far. Because while as an immediate example or an immediate analogy in terms of our experience of things, we can refer to all the things that arise in the world as relating to mind, as the constant play of clouds seems to relate to the sky, when we sit down and analyze it precisely, we recognize that beyond the sky itself, clouds require wind and water and so forth and so on to form. And so the analogy breaks down when we try to press it too far. And so we should just try to see the immediacy of the analogy rather than to try to make it a set model for explaining reality.
Then let me ask the question differently. When is there a difference between relative mind and absolute mind?
The kunzoki semdan dundambe semgi keba karire.
Kunzov gisem da tandam gisem seya la mashi sam kurang ngo la da kunzov da tandam gi yawa da tawa zirwa.
First, the actual nature of mind transcends the distinction between relative and absolute.
Is that
kare desu na sam kurang ngo yan thakba de da bena da tandam bal kelen go ya zirwa.
So, but
nilu chishin to tobe.
So, but conventionally, in order to have a language to discuss it in the first place, we refer to the abiding nature of mind, the real nature of mind, as the absolute.
So when a teacher says that there really is no difference between absolute and relative mind, or in this text where it says that the ordinary mind is the way, that then they're just refusing to be conventional at that point. They were refusing to speak conventionally.
Dene kunzoki sem dan dundam gisem chikparabes.
Kagi.
Kunzoki sem dan dundam. Dineleti chikparabes.
Bena me. Maishu sem kurangu ngu yantabo toba tila. Yewa yomadis. Ta bena tetabuji shanen digres. Kunzoki sem dabuji ina. Chunyiki damba madobin kong la. 하고서 대답을 시작하는 지인 나와 두 개월 봐. 돈이 샤인의 독서 책이 요래 대군접다 없이 하는데 그랬어. 그래서 또 담담 그 담바디 아니 샘진이로 양다고 또 그때 자들 샤네.
그래서 the transcendence of the distinction between relative and absolute shouldn't be something that we take to another extreme and then presume that because ultimately that is transcended that while we're dealing with these conventional dualities we're just beyond it and beyond that distinction conventionally speaking the realization of the real nature of the mind is the absolute and the perception of just what appears to us on one, whatever level we see it is what's relative and that as long as we're working in our own minds and in our own lives with dualistic thought structures and perceptions and that's a real distinction that we have to deal with and so it doesn't suffice to just say well then the relative is the same as the absolute.
The reason I asked that question was not just abstract philosophical reason but it relates very strongly to the practical meditation practice because the text says one line of the text says knowing how to rest in the spontaneous uncontrived flow. Now, and then another place it says, being free from mind productions, it is the Mahamudra. So if Rinpoche will accept the analogy of clouds being like dualistic thoughts and perceptions, when one is meditating in a Mahamudra style meditation, an attempt at that meditation, do the clouds disappear? Or does one flow among them? Are the clouds blowing back and forth across the sky? You simplify that, Matthew, on that question.
Right. I'll try. Kone chachengi gomsulgi kola nechi drison ani di pena ngesmala kona ani Treche dan tremegi ye wakandre dus ani kongyabe kabla. Treba sekendinzo kandre sel droge.
Treche dusun a kandre dugore.
Kare?
Bena shung signal chik sung maso.
Name natso di shine gyamso negyo chiki tsiksu cheba. Degi kola.
Da te kola tanda di manani kemburu mese gite sunze na.
ที่การช่วยได้ตอนนี้ก็คิมบรอมิสิกจะต้องช่วยตัวช่วยมิสิกอะไรที่ยุลันนันต์ต้องช่วยใจกันนะเดี๋ยวช่วยใจกันเลยยุลันนันต์ต้องมันช่วยใจเราช่วยมิสิกเดี๋ยวเราเชื่อปัญญาเลยยุลันนันต์ต้องช่วยกันได้ครับเป็นยังไงกันที่เจ้ายุลันนันต์ต้องมันช่วยกันที่ยังไงกันพี่เลยกันได้ทั้งนั้นยุลันนันต์ต้องการที่จะช่วยในกันในกังวลเรื่องนะ ペナオンドンザベイナコロオパトンワドンヤンガバトンネパサムテンドンテングレディンゴネキネガムシユレヤラヤランノントムトウゴネキネキナロングサンドテネコロカンセナヨルヨワミゲンデレバトンマウンタテクトバカネディンゴウツンテネチェプニヨレゼテラカンセナトゥキレゼザワヒネレゼ 뚜기 임단데 강르세나 디숨걸텔라 몬도가 사라리요레세 뚜미 쳬바텔라 단톰바 그레 단도 송주그산 간데 켈바온 균이 기타나서 또베 송송그 담반 동화 디모라 몬도 이겐게 유자미베 찬이 뚜미 쳬자요레세 데 단다 민쯤 지레 마서 단데 용도 또바온 단데 강발라 은이케네 치브진도네 디 단도 동고요레
맞아
Well, Matthew's getting the translation in mind for that. So this is Kenpo Kanta speaking now, who is the permanent representative of His Holiness here in New York as a teaching abbot in His Holiness's monastery. And he lives in the city, over on 84th and West End, and he gives classes twice a week. So Jamgon Kongtrul is kind of like a flash of lightning that's coming through and disappear again. But Kenpo Kanta is here permanently, and it's a great resource for those who want to study the teachings further.
Just before I translate this, I'd also like to add that where I referred to probably the one and only mistranslation in this whole text, I might otherwise note that it's probably the finest translation of a Kagyupa text of this sort that's yet appeared in English.
And this was done by Trungpa Rinpoche, and it appears in a book called Empowerment, which can be gotten at the center of His Holiness here in New York or Trungpa Rinpoche's center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fine.
Back to how to let the clouds, how to deal with the clouds.
Right. We, at this juncture, probably have to get back to the basic issue that we're dealing with and not so much the various analogies that we can adduce it through. And one of the basic issues is...
Is this you speaking or Kenpo Kanta?
Kenpo Kanta.
Oh, good. Let's make sure. This is the translation. Okay.
And the ground for that distinction is the distinction between projections of mind and mind free from all projection. And so I guess when you're referring to the clouds, it's like projections and various processes of projection in mind and just the sky itself as being like the mind free from projection. Now, the definition of projection in the sense we're dealing with it here is that in reference to what occurs in reality, we make judgments, we react, we have aversions and inclinations and attachments and so forth that color our view of reality. And these are all projections, complete absence of all of these, and just dealing with reality as it is without our creating any structures that impede the nature of reality is to achieve mind that's free from projections. In the teaching of meditation in the Kagyu school, because we're so involved with mental projection and structures in our minds based on mental projection, we start out with meditational techniques that make use of these and that sort of put the projecting aspect of mind into certain frameworks that allow for gradual refinement. And then ultimately, through that process, complete freedom from projection is eventually achieved. But that is the goal of this path.
Rinpoche, if you forgive me for going back to the clouds again, is the visualization, say, of a deity in one's meditation, is it sort of like lying on your back and gazing up at the sky, see the clouds, and then if you look at them long enough, you see, oh, there is Padmasambhava, you know, picture, or there is a Dakini. In other words, is that what happens when you make an effort to visualize in your meditation?
Gunzo gongyabe kabla ndi pena slachi migna ndi pena gunzo nanka ngumbola tave kabla gunzo rangi samla la pena semgi shune rimo tabu chi zona pena de tabu guru pema sambhava kikuchi migna kandroma chi kikuchi migna de tabu yorbes
Namla, namkala.
Las penangunzo namkala tabe kabla samsam rangi samlo name natsu.
Samlo suena to socho gres.
Naso?
Socho gres.
Matsi di tha mik pasekin di de tabu gere.
Tha mik pasekin kathura shan jal sigi orbe.
Ay, shal jal pena dunke. Tha gi dunke tabu.
Dilla di ores. Pena... Da kirim sigiyor vakiran.
Nasıl?
게름 생에디 소소게 득스 감니 카시 미고 살 탑탑 통에디 땐데 응수 영야 요 말은
맞아
이네 미고 살 같은데 요 시그레스 벤 두 소소 감비 갑도 디세버 야고마도 무슨 숨부게 소소 감니 틀라 텐데시 무슨 숨부 디요나 디 만디 버라
맞아나
벤아 들라야 벤아 락바 감나 벤아 가서로 했다 락바 선에 되지 수고나 게임 되냐 되지 수고나 때 되게요 말했어
맞아 the process of visualization I mean should be regarded as a process in and of imagination and not as the projection of a concrete and substantial entity. And depending on the individual and how their imagination works, there may be different ways to approach that, but it is basically related with the process of, you know, ordinary visual imagination.
But this pen, or any object, according to this text, is not a concrete object. It's all visualization.
That, in a sense, is just the point, but from a slightly different angle. When we're dealing with the objects in ordinary reality, we deal with them as if they're quite real. And at first, we discover in this path that the reality and the concreteness that we attribute to the objects of our ordinary existence is not quite what it seemed to be, and that things seem to be completely devoid of reality, but nonetheless they do appear. And it's this simultaneity of substantial appearance with no real substantial existence that's verifiable that's being pointed to here.
Just for people who are listening and might be misunderstanding this as an abstract philosophical conversation, which it really isn't. Let me just say that, and Matthew, you can simplify this and translate it back again, but and ask Rinpoche if I have a correct understanding of this. That to, as the text says, to be able to I've sort of lost the particular line here, but to flow with the uncontrived, to move with the uncontrived flow, to be able to live in the state of a blue sky, is from that platform, might I say that one can then be involved in compassionate activity with beings and gradually calm down all the sufferings of all beings in the universe. And in sort of very corny American type language, make the world a beautiful place to live in, or at least free people from their idea of the world as a terrible place to live in. So all these are not just mere philosophical speculations. They relate to actually what you might even say kind of a therapy, this is a theory of a kind of therapeutic approach that is being discussed here, and not just speculation about what reality might be absolutely or not. This is something that we can, an approach that we can all begin engaging in right now, which will eventually lead to a profoundly blissful state, not only for oneself, selfishly, but a bliss that radiates to into the lives of other beings.
Dene di nam kan ngombo tabu dendambe ngo di chi drune sem jiwa chi tomne de la tene ninje chanchu ki sem kene drowe dunda chi chene sem chan tamche la pentogi rebes tamogi jiwa chi gane.
That was a great condensation.
Sem gyu ngo yan tak par to ne. Tela nying ji yan tak par si jie ne.
No.
Sem jen ji jen ji tuan sen na ping gribe sirbe.
Da ga re. Dima tsu sen di
Kurang ki chua tsu sewa si chuna mendo.
No, sewa tsani yo mare. Gala.
Ta yine kye mendo kurang la. Bena gyase chanchu sanpa tang bena tanda chuan beke da bena gyabu tangpa mangbu yore zhugu tenzu ganga yenung san gye sanpa am sim chunyi ju tuan yang dabur do sinzare yena yang ning ji dan chanchu ju sanpa rumbu chela tene simji shen ji tuan rowa shen ji tuan la teni bena tuk gyaba zama yinba.
First of all, when we're talking about effectively benefiting all that lives through the realization of the Mahamudra, that is with reference to those who have truly attained full realization of this and embodied that realization. In other words, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas of all times and all directions, and through the strength and vastness of their realization, the ability to indeed benefit others does certainly arise. That's a nga kongi jiwa tsane hakomaso.
Sida nga yage sebe jiwa hakomaso.
Nasa.
Te kyaan ki chowa titir rebe sita.
Nasa. So, proceeding from that point, I think maybe if you rephrase the question in terms of ordinary experience, it might be a little helpful in translating it.
Well, basically, I was just trying to suggest to people who may be listening to this as sort of an abstract discussion which has no relation to human need, I was trying to reaffirm that the basic motivation behind the aspiration to live in the blue sky of Mahamudra is primarily to reach that place where one can really have genuine bliss oneself, and that it's not just a selfish thing. It's a bliss which is transmitted from person to person, even among people who aren't totally illumined bodhisattvas. I mean, there is a bliss that's communicated.
Unzo lam di la shuna migyo ganyan sen randan shen dun yi drube chedu lam di la drogire yani chi dan unzo sangi gobang ma drube sem chen namgi unzo randan shen dun seken digi penyon tabukarares.
Tinde mares. Bena Chirtangi nangba sanjebe choyo la Thikpata chongme nyi siyagi yorwa Thikpata chechon nyi Ti shaa goya di tunda khaana tenna Tintu kanga thangbu lamna tunbe kapsu kyechi chigi yorwa Thikpata chongme siya Tunbe kapsu la randu khona drupni Drupna hachangi Te drupka wachiri tati Tene Thikpata chenbe lamna shuuni Shenbengi toni drupna Drupla la wachiri Benan jigden jikam da buj jigden be chawa da buj cha sha na nga 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 jang ba sam de na tam je ge mi ru ma ra Benan ran da shen tun ni ga ru ba cha na tam je ge mi ya bu du shen de ro ba cha ya de da tin na shi ra chue le yin de tin na shi ge pe ba du ma ba yo ra sa de de re re shen du chan ju sim je benan da pe yo le sam ju mi cha ju ma nu ba chi yo ra sa
And it seems that this can be dealt with in terms in a much simpler way without having to refer to the goal of Mahamudra or anything so far out. And it can be discussed in terms of the very beginnings of the Buddhist path. And that is, in Mahayana Buddhism, the emphasis is placed on seeking to attain an enlightenment through which others may be benefited. And this is because to seek an enlightenment for oneself becomes self-defeating, because the basic problem, the basic thing that makes life unpleasant for ourselves and everyone else in the world is egotistical demanding. And we're all motivated by that in our normal lives, and that egotism just pollutes the whole atmosphere of human relationships and our relationships with ourselves. So in Mahayana Buddhism, the emphasis is placed on seeking enlightenment, not from an egotistical perspective, but from the point of view of as a vehicle through which one might help others, and through the material reduction of egotism that entails. If properly practiced, one becomes less confused and thus gains a certain modicum of happiness and bliss for oneself,